How many people out there have heard of Marin Institute? How about in the last year? Any former staff? I see a board member there. Barry. All right, I'll just move along. Marin Institute has a vision of communities free of the alcohol industry's negative influence. We envision a world where the alcohol industry operates in a way that does not harm the public's health. So why should we care if communities accept alcohol advertising and sponsorship? Well, there's harm to youth, for sure. We know it harms people. Problems caused by alcohol in this country constitute a serious and preventable health crisis. Our youth today are drowning in a sea of alcohol advertising. Every day they are negligently exposed to tens of thousands of alcohol images of products, brands, and social situations where drinks are consumed. These ads suggest, seduce, persuade, cajole, and drive youth to drink with disastrous public health results. In 2001, it was estimated that underage youth accounted for nearly $20 billion of big alcohol sales in the U.S. But that alcohol consumption actually cost society $61.9 billion. So we're going to take a quick look today at a couple of recent campaigns that Marin Institute played a role in that succeeded in changing public policy to be more effective in protecting underage youth through research, coalition building, media advocacy. These campaigns resulted in the removal of offending images from a public event and public transit. Well, let's step back for just a second and take a look at what sponsorship really is. Clearly, it's the provision of money or other resources to support an event in exchange for recognition. But in reality, it really is a perfect marriage of alcohol promotion and the industry's attempt to extend its public influence. So how do we reduce this threat? Based upon this successful campaign in Marin County, we've created a blueprint, a game plan for communities to achieve the goal of replacing alcohol sponsorship and thereby limiting youth exposure to alcohol messaging. I'll touch on them briefly, but the complete set of tools is available on our website, both in English and Spanish. So please, if you want to know step-by-step how to do this, go and take a look. Step one, getting a handle. Before embarking on a campaign to replace alcohol industry sponsorship, you need to arrive at an understanding of the circumstances surrounding the sponsorship. This includes gathering a lot of information about the event, the potential problems related to the alcohol industry sponsorship, and the details about the current sponsorship arrangement. Making key connections and developing a shared vision are primarily about the value of partnerships, creating a constituency of concern in the community, a coalition of individuals and groups that understand the dangers of alcohol industry sponsorship. The benefits of working in concert with others include sharing the workload. Multiple resources such as space, volunteers, and financial support, and creating a much more powerful voice. Coalitions, especially those that involve a diverse array of partners, often have greater influence with decision makers when advocating for change than do organizations working alone. The most important element of alcohol sponsorship, of course, the removal of that sponsorship, is replacing the funding. It always comes back to the dollars. In 2003, a California statewide survey indicated that Marin County had rates higher than both California and the national averages for underage alcohol use, binge drinking, and drunk driving. Local survey data revealed that the Marin County Fair was a prime location for alcohol-related problems because of its youth appeal and prolific alcohol industry sponsorship and advertising. Historically, the Maine Entertainment was always heavily branded as the Coors or Miller main stage band, stage. There were beer logos and signage saturating the fairgrounds, directing all to the main stage, and of course the beer stands where the products could be purchased. Marin Institute, Marin County Health and Human Services, and Youth Leadership Institute of Marin began to research opportunities to change the Marin County Fair sponsorship policies. The research discovered that in early 2004, Miller Beer's contract as title sponsor was coming up for renewal. The organization partnered under the name Playfair and successfully negotiated title sponsorship for $8,000. As news of that buyout spread, the partnership grew to six nonprofit organizations who have continued this work and achieved these remarkable results to protect young people and all Marin residents from at least this one persuasive form of alcohol industry influence. Okay, moving on, we're going to take a quick look at two other San Francisco Bay Area campaigns to limit alcohol industry exposure on public transit. Alcohol advertising on public transit is wrong in so many ways, it's really hard to imagine why the Board of Directors of the Bay Area Rapid Transit District, or BART, voted to allow it in August of 2006. They cited the need for $400,000 in annual revenue, but the board put profit above public health. Knowing well the huge toll alcohol advertising takes on our kids in our community, Marin Institute, in concert with a coalition of other groups, especially youth, began a campaign to reverse that decision. We drafted an opposition resolution to the San Francisco Board of Supervisors and demanded BART not do the dirty work of the alcohol industry. We argued that too many teens, younger children, and other vulnerable populations ride the system daily, and BART should deliver them safely and efficiently, not try to sell the booze. Another dynamic coalition formed with, once again, youth in the forefront and the opposition group. Each step of the way, the media was informed, and they responded appropriately. Their role in influencing key decision makers cannot be understated. Having capable, trained young people participate was a powerful tool. We've heard about that a little bit from our previous speakers, and it cannot be understated. The coverage was overwhelmingly supportive of reversing the BART decision to protect young people from America's most dangerous drug. Later, we were told that one of the BART board members, Gail Murray, had attended a board meeting and kept a bottle of wine in front of her until questioned about its appropriateness. She responded that that bottle of wine at a board meeting was no less inappropriate than alcohol ads on BART trains. It was a great moment for her and for the board. They reversed their decision. In January of this year, I joined the staff at Marin Institute and was immediately thrown into a new campaign when alcohol ads were reported in San Francisco bus shelters near schools, churches, and playgrounds, which was in direct violation of city and industry guidelines. Our initial research discovered that indeed the policies intended to protect had failed. There were ads within 500 feet of schools, within 500 feet of playgrounds, within 500 feet of churches. So we decided to conduct a survey to just see how big a problem we were facing. We selected three San Francisco districts out of, I think, nine. We surveyed community bus shelters in front of public schools and accredited colleges, and we noted other ads near other private schools, churches, and playgrounds. Here's what we discovered. A total of 84 violations system-wide. Numerous illegal ads. Clearly the city had a problem. Primarily no one was watching. Because we also found out that they had a policy that supposedly would prevent these ads from appearing where they did. We alerted the Board of Supervisors, scheduled a news conference to inform the public, and released a report entitled CBS Outdoor Alcohol Advertisements Endanger San Francisco Children. Once again, the media responded positively, and the coverage traveled well beyond the Bay Area. But more importantly, it reached the policymakers who could make a difference. We found out later that even as our press event was going on, CBS crews were rushing around San Francisco, madly tearing down the offending ads. Here we see the same location over a two-day period of time. Which is more appropriate for a bus stop in front of a school? Chardonnay or Peter Pan? I think we did the job. You know, we helped the alcohol industry and the advertisers narrow their market and do a little bit of appropriate marketing for children. Unfortunately, our success was only temporary. A month before the All-Star Game last summer came to San Francisco, Budweiser ads appeared on bus shelters all over the city. We did another quick survey and publicized our findings. We demanded that CBS Outdoor be booted out for the new infractions. Once again, nobody was watching. Our research also showed us that CBS contract was up for renewal, and of course there were other companies bidding on it, and we decided to engage ourselves in that process and made some demands, and we were well represented at San Francisco Board of Supervisors and the MTA board meetings, and these are the things we asked for. Comprehensive language describing muni property covered by the contract to include property owned by the advertisers. We found out that within the contract, if they were going to be building new bus shelters, they would own them, and thereby perhaps be exempt because it would not be public property but their own. We asked for robust penalties should those ads reappear. And we asked for a web-based database of transit system ads so that everyone could see as they were going up. The technology's there. It's everywhere. It's so easy to do. We got two out of three. They decided they would not do the third point, but the other two were incorporated into the new contract, which goes into effect in just a few weeks. Clear Channel Outdoor instead of CBS Outdoor. So what are our next steps? America's beginning to wake up to the fact that the public costs of alcohol-related health problems, death rates, workplace productivity, violence, and crime exceed those of tobacco. The alcohol industry, what we like to call big alcohol, markets to children to create a culture of heavy drinking in youth, both below and above minimum drinking age. Big alcohol knows that its best customers are recruited among underage youth who start drinking before age 15. Here's a partial list of transit districts that have chosen to value public health over advertising revenue. Unfortunately, there are others, most conspicuously New York and Boston, that operate far differently. Our next target is alcohol advertising in New York City public transit. This Thursday, we will be on the steps of New York City Hall holding a press event with New York State Assemblyman Felix Ortiz. We'll be releasing a new report entitled The End of the Line for Alcohol Ads on Public Transit, which documents how cities such as New York and Boston that are facing an epidemic of underage drinking and astronomical costs of alcoholism and alcohol-related problems still allow public advertising of alcohol beverages. Mr. Ortiz will be introducing two bills to ban alcohol and tobacco advertising from public transit systems in New York State and New York City. The legislation also imposes heavy fines on those who violate the law. So that's the end of my presentation.